Okay, Ron Sanford from Metairie Bank joins us on WWL. Hey, Ron.
Hello, Scoot.
All right, let's talk about inflation and how it's affecting us, and maybe to start with, why it's happening.
Well, it was just announced, as you probably saw, and I'm sure most of your listeners did, that the inflation rate hit a 6.8%, almost 7% annual rate in November, which is the highest inflation has been since for almost 40 years, going back to 1982. And, of course, inflation just means that costs are increasing. They're inflating. And a lot of people attribute it, number one, to energy costs rising, and secondly, to disruptions in the supply chain because of the COVID pandemic, where even manufacturers, you know, couldn't go to work, so they couldn't make the products, and inventories built up, and nobody was shipping anything anywhere for the longest time. So
it's basically it's supply and demand. If you can't get it, if there are only a few out there, then the price of what's available naturally goes up.
That's it. It's basic economics. Yes.
Yeah.
If the supply is not there and the demand is, the cost increases, and of course, costs across the board increase. So wages go up.
Well, that's the other point I was going to bring up. You know, we're going to talk this afternoon about T-Mobile raising the minimum wage to $20 an hour, and that brings to mind the idea that a lot of people have benefited from the pandemic. They're doing better now after the pandemic than they were doing before the pandemic. And so if there's more money out there, I mean, I don't know which comes first, but if there's inflation, then there's going to be an even greater demand for higher wages. But the higher wages seem like they are started actually before we started to get this groundswell of inflation.
They did to some extent, and that's what puts even further pressure on inflation and causes it really to just keep spiraling up. I mean, the government was pumping so much money, you recall, back from, you could make more on unemployment than you could working. And so a lot of people chose to not go back to work and just earn a substantial amount on unemployment. And those dollars kept pumping into the economy and increased demand and increased the cost.
Now, I'm old enough to remember. I don't know about you, but I know I'm old enough to remember stagflation. And that was a combination of inflation and recession at the same time, and it was a mess.
It's very bad. I certainly remember it. It's better than deflation.
Wasn't the phrase? I think this was during the Ford administration. And wasn't there an acronym WIN? Whip inflation now.
It
was
yes.
Like this big campaign. Whip inflation now. I remember that.
I do, too. Well, I remember even going back to the Jimmy Carter years when inflation was completely out of control and gasoline shortages, and you had cars wrapped around the block multiple times just trying to get a tank of gas, and you were paying, you know, 17% interest rate for a new house. I mean, it's things people couldn't even begin to fathom.
I know. Things are not as bad as some people make them seem to be if you live through these other times.
That's true. And if you remember, or if people will keep in mind that at its core, inflation is really the result of an overheated economy. And it's an attempt to bring it back into a normal economy or the pressures that come with trying to whip inflation. But it is base. You're right. I mean, it means things are going almost too well. They're overheated. There's more demand than there are goods and services. And we'll straighten it out eventually.
Is there anything that the average consumer can do on their level of participating in the economy that will stop the increase in prices?
Behaviorally, I'm not sure there is, because at their core, people have to buy groceries. They have to buy energy. You know, they've got to go fill up their cars with gas. They've got to buy heating and cooling from our Entergy and Clico. There's not a lot that that they can do in terms of savings, because, you know, during high inflationary periods, savings are not good. I mean, there's not a lot of levers that the average consumer can pull.
Yeah, I guess the only behavior that would have any impact would be the necessity that somebody might have. If gas prices get out of control compared to their budget, then they would be driving less, therefore using less fuel, which might have a collective impact of bringing down the price of fuel if a lot of people did that.
Well, it might, and it certainly did during COVID. You know, you could see people weren't traveling, fuel prices dropped. So there is that, but that was more a mandate. It wasn't up to consumer behavior necessarily. Right. You couldn't travel anywhere. So it's a difficult situation to counteract, there's no doubt about it. But it is the Fed's mission, number one, to keep inflation in check. Well, no, actually, number one is to hold unemployment down to the lowest possible rate. Their target is 2% unemployment. And secondly, to prevent inflation from spiraling out of control. So there's a lot of focus on it at a macroeconomic level. And I think ultimately they'll be able to bring it back under control.
Ron Sanford, President, CEO of Meribank, thank you for your time and thank you for your wisdom.
That's good. Always nice to visit with you.
All right, Ron. Take care of yourself.